Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York with a question for you. Does your smart TV sound dumb? Probably. That pencil-thin TV is, of course, trying to defy the laws of physics. Luckily, personal tech columnist David Pierce can help finally enhance that TV sound. But first, these tech headlines. AT&T's dream deal hangs on one decision. A federal judge will only need a short time Tuesday to make an AT&T Time Warner deal official, or if government antitrust enforcers prevail, block the deal, sending both companies back to the drawing board. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon's decision will come down at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, the culmination of a 20-month legal slog that's absorbed both companies' time and attention while their industry changes around them. A win for AT&T and Time Warner will vindicate their leaders' survival of the biggest philosophy, creating a vertically integrated giant with movie studios, TV channels, satellites, cell phone networks, and fiber optic cables, all under the same roof. Chinese smartphone and gadget maker Xiaomi lost money in the first 3 months of the year, as the company revealed in new filings ahead of its coming stock listing, one that is expected to value Xiaomi at about $70 billion. The paperwork filed with Chinese regulators paves the way for the company to list its shares in mainland China alongside a listing in Hong Kong. And Japan has spoken. It says Airbnb had plenty of warning about new licensing laws. As previously reported on the podcast, new legislation had led to thousands of Airbnb cancellations last week. This week, the Japan Tourism Agency defended its handling of the new law, saying the company had ample warning that unlicensed hosts wouldn't be permitted to operate starting Friday. The issue highlighted Airbnb's global challenge of preserving its business when regulations are tightening, an issue it also faces in cities such as Los Angeles and Paris. Coming up, how to get your TV to sound smart. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
So, as you know, TVs are thinner and more beautiful than ever. Unfortunately, they've never sounded worse. However, you can fix that problem with a single, easy upgrade to your home theater. Here to talk us through it, joining us via Skype, is The Wall Street Journal's David Pierce. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know what? So I think tech nerds can appreciate a quick primer in physics. If you wouldn't mind, as you did in your piece, explaining why this is almost a for sure losing battle, getting any kind of decent sound out of these crazy thin TVs.
Yeah, pretty much. So essentially, there are two problems here. One is that your TV has gotten thinner and better and cheaper all at the same time, which means these companies have to save money somewhere. And since no one is like going into a Best Buy and listening to a television before they buy it, an easy place to skimp is on audio quality. And the other thing that's happening is as these TVs are getting so thin, there's just no room for good audio. I mean, fundamentally, you have to move air around in space. There's a lot more complicated things to sound than that.
Right.
But if you can't move air around in space, you can't create good sound. And these TVs now are like they're you know, paper thin, and there's just no room for good speakers and no room for sort of resonant, great audio. And the upside is that, you know, you get this really beautiful, really thin TV that you can essentially just sort of wallpaper to your wall. But the downside is they sound like garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I almost am desensitized to it. I'm just like, well, it's not going to sound good, so this is what we get, and I just kind of moved on. But, you know, more and more you're hearing that sound bars are the solution. Now, there are different options out there, so let's talk about our maybe toe-dipping economical types. Where would one start if they want to open themselves up to this new world?
Sure. So I should preface all of this by saying that if you are an audiophile, someone who cares deeply about sound and, like, likes to, you know, sit in an empty room with $1,000 headphones listening to the whole thing, you're going to hate everything that I'm about to say.
Okay,
and you're
so
gonna
that's
disagree
me.
With all of it.
Okay, I got it.
So that's my preface. But
it's my profession, but whatever.
You can, yeah, you know, you can do a lot better than your TV speakers for not a lot of money, right? The easiest thing you can get is like there's a Vizio soundbar, like $70. You can buy it on Amazon. It's very popular and it sounds a million times better than your TV. I agree with you that it's really easy to forget how bad your TV sounds until you hear something better. I was like, I remember the first time I bought a pair of headphones that was better than like the ear pods that came with my phone.
Right.
And all of a sudden you realize you're like, oh, I've been living in this terrible world of awful audio and just forgot what good sounds like. And it's very much the same with a soundbar. Even if you start with the cheapest, simplest thing you can, it's still a gigantic upgrade over whatever you've had. And the beauty of a soundbar is they take almost no time to install. You could do one of those things where you, you know, buy seven speakers and wire all through your house and it'll sound incredible. And that's if you have the tolerance and time and money, do it. But this is just it's like three cables and $100 and 3 minutes, and all of a sudden you have massively upgraded your home theater and it's worth every penny.
Okay. And there are real places we can go with this because, as you know, our homes are becoming very smart. Alexa is making her way into all sorts of devices. Let's say we really want to integrate. What are our options?
Yeah, so this is where I think soundbars are actually starting to get really exciting because obviously they've been around for a long time and people have been buying them for a long time and they've been great. But what's happening now is people are buying smart TVs in droves, right? But those TVs are hard to upgrade. The apps don't run very well. The processors in them aren't quite good enough. But what's starting to happen is some of the smarts in those soundbars are actually moving to some of the smarts in those TVs are actually moving to soundbars. So Sonos last week came out with a new soundbar called the Beam, which connects to your TV and to, you know, the rest of your Sonos setup if you have one. But it also has Alexa built in, and you can use Alexa to change the channel or find things to watch or just turn your TV on or just listen to music. And it becomes sort of the audio centerpiece of your home, you know, stereo. And it just makes sense. We spend time in our living rooms. That's where most people are most of the time. And having something like that that sounds good, that has a voice assistant, that is easy to upgrade when things get better over time, because you're not going to want to buy another TV in 3 years when somebody comes out with a cool new feature. Mm-hmm. Having this thing on your desk that you can just easily unplug and plug in a new one when it's time, I think is actually really exciting. And TV manufacturers are starting to get the idea too.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of plug, I mean, a key here is, and with any new device these days, is wireless. That's really where everything is going. You mentioned 3 years from now, I mean, will we be connected to anything, right? So one thing, I know it's from Roku. I know it excites you, David. Do you want to tell us about it?
It does. I am probably one of the only people on the planet who gets like deeply excited about wireless and wired technology. But that's, you know, such is my job. Basically, Roku earlier this year announced what's called the Roku Entertainment Assistant, and it's basically their take on something like Alexa, but it's really focused on finding you stuff to watch and listen to. And they are working with a bunch of TV manufacturers to embed their technology in TVs, but the reality is lots of people have bought TVs over the last couple of years who now don't need a new TV. So they're working with soundbar companies to make soundbars. And you can, if you have a Roku TV or a Roku box, you can buy a soundbar that will sound great that also has this entertainment assistant built in. And you can use it to do things like help you find stuff to watch or find stuff to listen to or do any of the other, you know, controls that Roku is coming out with. And by controlling both parts of that, Roku is able to make all of this happen wirelessly, because it knows what's going on your TV and it knows what's going on your soundbar. So it's able to build this sort of lovely way of watching and controlling your whole home theater just through your voice, just because it knows all of what's going on. And I feel like that's where it won't just be Roku that does this. And that's where a lot of this stuff is going. And it's going to make this mess of remotes and cables and boxes that don't really understand each other start to go away.
Exactly. I encourage listeners, as always, to check out David's piece at WSJ.com. David, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That does it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.